I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field but may not be an expert at running a business. Best Network is ideal if you are an expertise-driven solopreneur business owner with many years of experience in your field. If you're a consultant, coach, or professional selling your knowledge and creativity, we're here for you. If you join the Best Network, you'll receive access to the full Smashing the Plateau archive of over 350 episodes, and you'll receive expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. With teams of like-minded and supportive professionals surrounding you, you'll be perfectly poised to smash the plateau in your business with our membership programs. To learn more about joining the Best Network and how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Joel Solomon. Joel is assisting individuals as a prosperity coach to help identify and overcome the roadblocks standing in their way of personal financial freedom. Prior to becoming a prosperity coach, Joel launched his own hedge fund, Solomore Capital, a dream that Joel had had from the early 1990s. Prior to Solomore, Joel was a portfolio manager at Citi, where he managed a long-short portfolio. He generated positive returns, including in 2008 when the market collapsed 40%. Joel was designated a fellow of the Society of Actuaries in 1992 and a chartered financial analyst in 1995. Joel, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
David, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's so great to be here.
So you've had several stages in your professional and business career. Could you start off by describing a little bit about your journey and why you made some of the transitions you made?
Absolutely. And thanks again for having me. So I started my career as an actuary, and some people may know what an actuary is. I tell people, if you know what an accountant is, the difference between an actuary and an accountant is an actuary looks at his feet when he talks to you. An accountant looks at your feet, and they say, accountant is an actuary with charisma. So I started my career as an actuary, and I wasn't really loving the day. And I realized after getting onto the Bloomberg machine in my area in asset liability management in the early 90s, that my true passion was analyzing companies, investing, and helping people to become financially free, potentially by investing their money. And so I asked an actuary who was on Wall Street, how did he get there? What did he do? And he said, well, you really need to get credit analysis experience, because if you can be an expert in credit analysis for insurance companies and other financial institutions, you'll be an excellent investor. So I literally cold called Moody's and asked them if they had a need for an actuary. I found out that they were looking for a senior analyst position, and I sent them a FedEx package with this cover letter. If you give me 2 minutes of your time, I'll show you I'm the best candidate for the job, along with a sand timer that established those 2 minutes. And I got the interview. Fortunately, the head of the division asked me a very telling question. He asked me, Joel, which real estate investments do you think are the best investments right now? What geographical areas and what types of real estate? And I had done a lot of studying for this interview. I knew all about the different types of products insurance company sells. I had analyzed all different types of companies, which ones need to be upgraded, downgraded. But real estate, you're asking me a real estate question? And so it was clear to him that I wasn't quite ready for a senior analyst position, but he offered me a junior analyst position. I jumped at it because the idea was to get the credit analysis experience to ultimately become an investor. And so they started me out as a grunt, took a pretty large pay cut after having recently become a fellow of the Society of Actuaries. But I knew I needed this experience in order to be successful. So I jumped at the opportunity. And within a few years, I was a senior analyst responsible for my own portfolio of companies and making the downgrade and upgrade decisions, you know, along with the assistance of a credit committee. And my learning curve leveled off after a few years, and I got a call from a recruiter looking for a private equity investor at a reinsurance company called Swiss Re. And I was realizing that I was private equity, you know, where you're investing in private companies as opposed to public companies, was getting me one step closer to my dream job. So I jumped at that opportunity. And within a year and a half, I got a call from my boss saying that my division was likely to be shut down. And we were basically, Swiss Re had acquired a small company, but that company was larger than the whole life and health insurance division. And they were basically, it was like a take under. And so Swiss Re's senior management wasn't involved. Luckily, from bad things come good things. I was effectively about to get laid off when another actuary in another division, Swiss Re, heard about what was going on and said to me, "Joel, there's a potential opportunity in credit risk management." And he said, they're looking for someone with both actuarial background and credit experience, which is very rare. And I think you fit this perfectly. He said, but there's one catch. You'd have to work in Zurich. And David, you don't know this about me, but one of my biggest passions in life is traveling. And if you wanted to travel to more countries than you could ever imagine from the center of Europe, you could do that from Zurich. And so I felt the fear and did it anyway, and took that opportunity to live and work in Zurich. Initially, it was supposed to be 3 months, and I kept on asking my boss for more time because I didn't get enough cities in. Eventually, I would travel every single weekend. I originally was supposed to be there for 3 to 6 months. It became 15 months, and I traveled to more than 30 countries and got to visit 40 cities in and outside of Switzerland. And I got a great learning experience, of course, as well on the professional side. But for me, the personal growth, learning and being immersed into another culture, learning another language and so on, was just so beneficial for me. And then I came back to New York and realized, wait a second, I came to Swiss Re because I wanted to get private equity experience on my way to becoming an investor, and I'm not getting it. Now, I haven't mentioned, all this is in my Amazon best-selling book, Mindful Money Management, Memoirs of a Hedge Fund Manager. This is actually chapter 2, which is called Your Dream Job. And I talk about how then I came back to New York and I realized I'm not living my dream. I'm doing credit analysis and analyzing companies and visiting those companies around the globe. In fact, I went to Sydney, Australia. I went to Tokyo, Japan. I went to London, England many times. But and that was fulfilling one passion of mine. But my other big passion, which was investing and becoming a portfolio manager, wasn't being satisfied. So I started looking for another job, found one at a small hedge fund, and started getting really great stock experience there. And then within just 3 years, I got a call from my Citigroup salesperson saying they were looking for a portfolio manager, a hedge fund manager, to invest Citi's money. And this was close to my dream job because it wasn't actually a hedge fund, but it was one step away. So I jumped at that opportunity. And as you mentioned, it was 2008. Can anyone spell financial crisis? And it was trial by fire. I had to learn not only how to manage money, but how to manage money in the most volatile time since the Great Depression. And luckily, we were able, from my credit analysis experience, to make money, a small amount of money, but a few percent in 2008, when the overall stock market was down 40%, the financial stocks, which is what I was investing, was down 57%, and proceeded to make money again in 2009 when, if somebody was spending most of their 2008 betting that the market was going to go down, they probably did the same in 2008. They probably did the same in 2009. We did not. I mean, the light bulb went off, but maybe a little bit late, but not so late that we didn't make money. And we outperformed the financial index in 2009 by 8%. We made about 25%, and then made some decent money in 2010. They kept on giving us more capital. And at the peak, I was managing $700 million. And I probably would be doing that today, potentially, if the Dodd-Frank bill wasn't passed that said that banks cannot own hedge funds. And so I was laid off, along with the rest of my group, in 2012, which gave me the impetus to start my own hedge fund, which, as you heard, was my dream job. It took me a little bit of while, but it took me 20 years, but I got there. And so I started my own hedge fund. We made very good returns. We got money to invest in June of 2013. We were up 10% in 6 months, in 13, annualized 20%. We made money in 14. And in 15, I realized that we didn't have enough money to manage to be a sustainable long-term business. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna go to this conference that's gonna get me to the next level. And I go to this conference, and two things happened which changed my life and my perspective. And one was, they gave us a wooden board, 2 inches thick, and they said, break the board with your bare hand. We had 200 people in the room, and we spent 45 minutes on all the risks involved. Permission slips were filled out. We were taught how to set up, how to hold the board for our partner who was going to break the board. And on one side, we wrote obstacle. The exercise was called Obstacles or Illusions. And one side, we wrote our obstacle, and the other side, we wrote our goal. So I wrote my obstacle was raising enough money for Solomer Capital to be massively profitable. And on the other side, I wrote my goal, which was to help everybody in this room become financially free. And I broke the board like everyone else. Second thing that happened at that course was, we had a guest speaker come the second day who was teaching us about stocks and stock options. And he told everyone in the room how, if you had just bought Facebook stock options, a call and a put option, before their first earnings report, you would have made 7 to 10 times your money. And he gave other examples just like that. And I felt sick to my stomach because, as you know, David, options aren't riskless, and you can actually lose money investing in options. But he was professing that you can get rich quick with options. And I was just sick to my stomach. People were tapping me on the shoulder. They knew it was a hedge fund manager. They asked me, does this make sense? Are options riskless? So we went outside. I had a circle of people around me, and I'm begging them, please don't do this. Options are not riskless. So I went home that night, that Sunday, and with the board, the two halves of the board, and one half kept on staring at me all night, and I couldn't sleep. The half that said, make everybody in this room financially free. And I went into my office the next morning, Monday morning, and I sent an email to my investor saying, I found out my true purpose in life. I'm shutting down my hedge fund. I'm giving you money back because my true purpose is to help people become financially free. And so that's what I'm doing now.
It's a big shift. This last one.
It is a big shift, but it's, and again, I know it may sound like a cliche, but when something feels right, I think it's very important to go with your gut, go with your feeling. And this was, for me, truth. It felt right. And I know I can help people, coach people. I don't need to invest their money. I feel passionate about educating people. So I have 3 different modules. One module in my coaching program is to educate them on investments, teach them the basics of stocks and bonds, real estate, currencies, commodities. But the other module is probably unique, and that's all about mindset, your money mindset, how to act as if what you want to happen has already happened, how to manifest your dreams and desires, what affirmations you can use to improve your money mindset. I teach people how to use their intuition, use their gut, and develop that muscle just like any other muscle, like your bicep that you exercise every day. You can exercise your intuition every day. And then the third module is all about the basics of savings and cash flow, how to figure out what your financial freedom number is and how to actually get yourself towards financial freedom, what little things and changes you can make to move closer to becoming financially free.
And Joel, you have clearly, from everything that you have described in your own journey, you've clearly had some major transitions where the outcome probably was not so certain or sure before you took the step to make the transition. Was acting as if part of your mindset as you were making those other shifts?
Absolutely. So I will tell people I had this vision in 1992 or three to become a hedge fund manager. And all those steps that I took was to achieve that vision. And I have this great story in the book, Mindful Money Management, about that. And what happened was, and I didn't go into detail in the background, but what happened was in December 2012, I had two insurance company investors orally commit that they were going to give us money. And I started a process of engaging an accountant, a lawyer, a fund administrator, a prime broker, a compliance company, multiple other companies that would help me set up my funds. And I moved into my commercial real estate space on Tony Madison Avenue, in the corner of 54th Street. And on December 17th, both of those companies that orally committed to give me money both backed out. I was in my new real estate space, committed to paying monthly. I had a one-year lease and was paying my monthly real estate. I had all those other service providers that I was committed to paying, and I had no money, and I had no investors, and I could have given up, but I decided that this was a dream, a vision that I had for many years, and I know it's right, I know it feels right, and I'm going to do it. And so I acted as if what I wanted to happen has already occurred. My analyst, who was supposed to start on January 1st, did. And we had a morning call as if we already had the money. We talked about what investments we would buy. And we actually set up a spreadsheet of stocks that we were long and short, stocks that we were betting were going to go up, and other stocks that we were betting were going to go down. We checked our performance on a daily basis and a weekly basis. And we made changes, if we needed to the portfolio as if we were already invested. We went to conferences. We took all the actions that we would have taken as if we already had the money. Now, of course, I did take some baby steps as well to try to get new investors. I did make some calls. I did reach out to other potential investors. But I believe that acting as if we already had the money, taking those steps and feeling the feeling as if we already had the money, got me the money, because within 2 months, we had not only an oral commitment, but a written commitment from another insurance company investor to give us money.
So let's talk about that mindset that you're describing and see how it might apply to someone who is using expertise, just like you've used, who is a solopreneur business owner, who may have been on a particular path for a long time, could be in his or her field for, you know, say 20 years or more. And the current way that they're doing business is just not generating consistent, stable revenue. How do you think they can apply this mindset that you've described to build recurring revenue so that they're able to cover the operating costs of their business and cover their personal expenses to meet their current lifestyle?
Yeah, there's a number of different ways. First of all, it's when the physical reality is different from the vision, you know, you tend to focus on the physical reality rather than the vision. And of course, I will be the first one to admit that I had doubts throughout the time period that I had my hedge fund up and running without actually having the money. So one of my recommendation that's all over the book is to doubt the doubt. You're going to have doubts. You're going to have fears. You're going to have worries that it's not going to work out. You know, to get to stable revenues may be perceived to be a big obstacle, but why are the fears? Why are the doubts right? Doubt the doubt and focus on what you want. So when you focus on your dreams and desires, say you're having inconsistent revenues right now. It's, you know, $1 million 1 month and then 200,000 the next month and maybe even less and then back to a million. That whole inconsistent physical reality that you're seeing is not what you want. So focus on the end result. And I also talk to people about focusing on the big end result. It's not just you want consistent revenues, but you have also what made you do what you're doing, right? You have a passion. This is your purpose. And so focus on that vision. And when you focus on the end result and the feeling of that end result, that will create much more powerful results. So you may have, you know, your goals. You have the goal is to generate $1 million a month of consistent revenues as opposed to a million 1 month, 100,000 the next. You know, how great would it feel if you were generating $12 million of revenues a year? What would that look like to you? What kind of lifestyle would you have? How many people would you be helping? What kind of charities could you give to? All that plays a part into the feeling and the power of getting to that consistent, stable revenues.
Joel, is there someone you know personally who has done a remarkable job of achieving this kind of transition, transformation that you've just described, using the kind of visioning that you've described, and thus smashed a major plateau for themselves?
Yes. Now, Mike Dooley is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Infinite Possibilities. In fact, his quote is on the cover of my book. He started 18 years ago with a very small, what people now call a platform, but distribution list. He wrote this book without much success initially, and he now has a distribution list of almost 800,000 followers globally. He sends out a daily email to those almost 800,000 people called Notes from the Universe. So that's how big the platform is now. He's a motivational speaker. He does webinars and seminars. And he's, I don't know how many books he's written now, a large number of books, maybe 10 plus, maybe 14. I'm not sure of the number. And so he has gone from a very small distribution list of just a few thousand people 15, 18 years ago to this very large distribution list of stable, consistent revenues. You know, it's books, it's audios, it's videos, it's seminars, and he does global tours. He will go to, this year he's going to Hawaii and Vietnam and Cambodia and Machu Picchu. To give seminars and to travel with people of like-minded faith to espouse the teachings of infinite possibilities.
Joel, you have this vision for the place you're in now. What do we have to look forward to in the near future as you're pursuing this vision?
Great, great question, David. So my vision is actually similar to Mike's, believe it or not. I love to get to that kind of distribution list. My goal is also to become a New York Times bestseller. I have a number of books that will be coming out over the next few years, but I want to reach, I know, again, this may sound a little crazy, but my goal is to help at least 100,000 people become financially free through my books, through my coaching, through seminars and webinars that I do. I really truly believe that everyone was born rich. And it may not be in monetary terms, but they were born with abundance from many different perspectives. And I truly believe that if I can get them to, for them to believe that that was their birthright, everyone here, and it may sound kind of unusual, but I think everyone here on earth was born to be abundant. And so my goal is to teach people that they can become financially free, to teach a large number of people that to become financially free. And hopefully over the near future, we'll be doing seminars and webinars in addition to my individual coaching classes to teach people that truth.
Joel, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
I am available at salaumor.com. That's SALAURMOR.com or joelsolomon.com. Again, it's JOELSALOMON.com.
Joel, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been prosperity coach Joel Solomon. Thank you again, Joel, for joining us.
Thanks so much, David, for having me. I really do appreciate it. Have a great day.
I'm David Schreiner-Kahn. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field but may not be an expert at running a business. If you're a solopreneur who's an expert in your field but not necessarily smashing your plateau in business, and you want to ramp up your recurring revenue, join our Best Network. Receive expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands on our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. To learn more about joining the Best Network, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Join us and smash your plateau.